Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
This team, there he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches, gets a step to the baseline. Drives with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
All right, we're going to get you out to Yankee Stadium in about an hour and 45 minutes. The American League wild card game right here on Sports 1140. The lineups are set. Nick Martini will lead it off and play left field for the A's. Matt Chapman will bat second at third. Jed Lowry is going to hit third, the second baseman. The designated hitter in the cleanup spot is Chris Davis. Matt Olson will bat fifth and play first base. Steven Piscotty will bat sixth, be the right fielder. The center fielder is Laureano. He'll be in the seventh slot. Simeon at shortstop, eight. And Jonathan Lucroy, the catcher, will bat ninth. Meanwhile, the Yankees will counter with Andrew McCutchen in left field. Aaron Judge will bat second and be in right field. The center fielder is Aaron Hicks, batting third. Giancarlo Stanton is the cleanup man. He's the designated hitter. Luke Voit is at first base. Didi Gregorius, sixth at shortstop. Miguel Andujar will be batting seventh. He'll be at third. The catcher is Gary Sanchez, batting eighth. And Gleyber Torres will play second base and bat ninth. You know about Luis Severino? Tonight, Liam Hendricks will start the game for Oakland. But obviously, he is not going to pitch very much in this game. What do I think are some of the keys in this game? I think the biggest key for the Yankees is the first inning for Severino. I think if Severino gets through the first inning, I think the Yankees are going to be in decent shape. All right. Now, you always talk about, well, who has the advantage here? All right, let's start from behind the dish, and let's go around the field. Jonathan Lucroy and Gary Sanchez. The advantage here is to the A's. Obviously, you know, Gary Sanchez can hit the ball a long way, all right? Lucroy has caught the most runners stealing this year, but he also is a guy you can run on. It's very interesting that teams try to run on the A's, and Jonathan Lucroy has thrown out the most runners, but he's also allowed the must too, all right? Now, the A's, they don't really try to run that much. They don't steal a lot of bases. As a matter of fact, they were last in the American League in attempts. Sanchez has an incredible arm, all right? I don't think you'll see the A's trying to steal a bag on Sanchez. We know what Sanchez's liability is. Runner on third, pass balls. That is a big factor. I'd give an advantage here to Jonathan Lucroy. All right, let's go to first base. Luke Voit has been absolutely unbelievable since taking over and arriving and pushing basically Greg Bird out of a job. We know about Matt Olson. He has had a very good year. But based on right now, today, I got to give a slight advantage to the Yankees at Luke Voit at first base. All right, very interesting matchup at second base. Jed Lowry, Gleyber Torres, and they're pretty much the same player. All right, they don't run. In other words, you're not going to see these guys get on first and try to take a bag in all likelihood. Neither has really tore the baseball or the cover off the baseball in the second half. They were both all-stars. And, you know, this is pretty much a toss-up. I can't really give an edge to Lowry or Torres here. All right, let's go to shortstop. Is Didi Gregorius fully healthy? If he's 100%, easy call. Advantage Yankees. All right? No, there's no question. Much better hitter than Simeon. The game at Yankee Stadium is tailor-made for Didi and his swing. We just don't know about the injured right wrist, although this past weekend in Boston, he did hit the ball pretty well. Advantage there, Yankees at shortstop. All right, at third base, this is where I think the A's have a huge advantage. Miguel Andujar has had a really good first year for the Yankees. All right, he can hit the ball. He has been incredible. All right, he is a liability in the field. The difference between Matt Chapman and Miguel Andujar is night and day. Chapman may be the best fielding third baseman in the American League. The big advantage here is with the glove. And Matt Chapman, let's face it, You know, he gets the job done at the plate, too. That's a big advantage right there for the Oakland A's. All right, let's go to left field. Andrew McCutchen is getting the start in left field. They acquired him after the Giants moved on from him. And you know what? He's actually been pretty good. Now, we know the A's are going with Nick Martini. Based on what we know now, you got to give the advantage to the Yankees there with Andrew McCutchen in left field. All right, so what do we do in center field? Laureano took over the job in August. The guy's been unbelievable. And he's got an arm that is just an absolute cannon. You got to be careful if you're trying to take an extra base on him. All right? Aaron Hicks, Yankee center fielder. Very, very good. Very good. Very good hitter. All right? He's very good defensively. He also has a very good arm. Now, we know that Hicks had a hamstring issue, but he did return to the lineup at the end of the season. And if he's healthy, which he appears to be, the advantage there goes to the Yankees. All right, right field. Aaron Judge. Now, you got to forget about last year where he was the runner-up in the AL MVP, because that was last year. All right? And when you think about Oakland, a lot of times the name Piscotty does not come up. You know what? He's been pretty darn good. You know, if you remember, he didn't start off well, but when the weather got warmer and he started, he really became a heck of a player. Now, when I pick out this advantage, I'm doing it on how I think Aaron Judge is now based on what I saw in the Boston series. I mean, obviously, if Aaron Judge is fully healthy, that this is an easy choice. The advantage goes to the Yankees. He did it a home run over the weekend in Boston. He still has amazing skill. And for that reason, based on what I saw in Boston, I would give this right now a small advantage to the Yankees. Small advantage. Nothing major. Small advantage. All right, designated hitter. Chris Davis gets the edge here. Not a huge edge, but he gets the edge. Stanton, Davis. Now, let's face it. Both of these guys can you know, carry the team on their bats. All right? They can carry the team on with their bats. Davis has been unbelievable this year. We get that. But just unbelievable. Both guys can hit to all fields. Not an issue there. I got to give the advantage here to Oakland. I mean, Chris Davis has had an amazing year. Not a huge advantage, but you got to be fair here. Got to give a small advantage. Not huge, but Davis gets the edge here. All right, now what about pitching? Clearly, Yankees have the advantage with the starters, and I think they have the advantage from top to bottom with their pitching. Not a huge advantage. Slight, like, minuscule advantage. I read something earlier that after June 1st, both the Yankees and the A's ERAs were identical. All right? They were identical. So, what happens tonight after the A's go to the bullpen? All right? What is the rotation going to be? When you look at the back end of these bullpens, Blake Treinen, Aroldis Chapman. When you look at the setup guys, Familia, Betances, Trevino, Britton, Fernando Rodney, Chad Green, Sean Kelly, David Robertson. I would say all the names that I just mentioned will be used. If I'm looking at this from the Yankees' perspective, the one guy that would make me nervous is Dellin Betances. Betances is either really, really, really good or he is really shaky. You don't get a lot of in-between with Dellin Betances. When he is on, he's basically unhittable. And I think you could say that about a lot of the guys I just named. Treinen, Chapman, you know, Britton. This is going to be a chess match tonight. The question is, we don't know how long Luis Severino can go. We know that all the names I just mentioned for Oakland are going to get into the game. Who wins this game? Give me your thoughts. And if you disagree with anything that I just said, I'd love to hear from you at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm going to be heading out to Yankee Stadium as soon as I get off the air. And I cannot wait to be in that venue to see this winner-take-all game. Because when you look at last night's game, which was a dandy, this time of the year, every single pitch matters. And I think the key for the Yankees is the very first inning with Severino. If the A's win this game, similar to what we saw last night in Colorado when the Rockies got that all-important first run, and you know what? That run held up until very late in the ballgame. But it ended up being a really big run. That's what the A's are going to try to be doing in the first inning. Obviously, they know Severino can get rattled early. So, we're going to get you out to Yankee Stadium at about 4:45. If you have any thoughts on this matchup, love to hear from you. All right? Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Last night, we saw the Rockies. Think about this. Three games, three different time zones in 3 days. And they go from Los Angeles into Chicago, and they beat the Cubs. That was a tremendous baseball game last night. Tremendous baseball game. And now you've got the Rockies moving on. And, you know, call it whatever you want. You know, you just figure out a way to win a game. Both teams had plenty of chances last night to win that game. Now, the only thing that could have made that game better last night is if they had muted out A-Rod, all right? If they could have muted out Alex Rodriguez, then it would have been a perfect game. But unfortunately, we had to listen to 5 hours of nonsense from Alex Rodriguez, who just does not know when to shut up, makes mistake after mistake after mistake, tries to be Mr. Know-It-All, and is just an absolutely difficult listen, in my opinion, on that baseball package. Terrible. Other than that, I enjoyed the game very much. Other than that, no issues. So give me a shout, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. As we speak, the Sacramento Kings are in the air. They are flying to Los Angeles. Doug Christie is on the plane. That's why he is not on with me now. They will take on the Lakers tomorrow, and then they will leave right after the game to fly to Seattle, and they will take on the Golden State Warriors Friday in Seattle. Which leads me to the question, will Seattle get an NBA team? Now, I got a call from the Sacramento Bee last night, and they are doing a story in advance of this game on Friday night. And in all honesty, I had not really thought about the impact that this game has. And Jason Anderson, who is covering the Sacramento Kings this year for the Sacramento Bee, he's going to be doing a story, and I would assume it would probably come out on Friday, but I don't know that for sure. He was asking me about my thoughts about Seattle. And I got to tell you, I had not really thought of it. It's been a long time since I've been up in Seattle announcing an NBA basketball game. And I think I speak for Carmichael Dave as well, because we were both knee deep, armpit deep, neck deep into everything that went on here. And I think I speak for Dave when I say this. I have no animosity at all towards anybody in Seattle. Seattle happens to be one of my favorite cities in the world. Both my wife and I love going up to Seattle. We were just up there 2 summers ago. And I haven't really given much thought that I'm going up to Seattle on Friday for the Kings game. And maybe when I walk in the Key Arena and it brings back a lot of the memories of some of the great series that the Kings and the Sonics had. And when I started doing the Kings, you know, and going back to that era, and then, you know, watching the Sean Kemps of the world and Detlef Schrempf and Rick Smits, Nate McMillan, you know, and then Gary Payton and Vin Baker. And, you know, I had just Ray Allen, a lot of fond memories when I talk about Seattle. I believe that Seattle will have an NBA team within 5 years of the new arena in Seattle opening. I would actually guarantee that they're going to have an NBA team within 5 years. And people say, well, why do you say that? I go, two words, common sense. The city of Seattle is too prosperous with too many Fortune 500 countries. They've got money all over the place, and it's a great NBA market. Not a good NBA market, a great NBA market. They should have never lost their team in the first place. And if they had a mayor that was even 50% of what Kevin Johnson was when he was the mayor of Sacramento, the Seattle Sonics would still be the Seattle Sonics. That team would have never gone to Oklahoma City. But they didn't have the leadership in that city to make it happen. And that's why Seattle Supersonics moved and became the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I would love, absolutely love, to see the NBA back in Seattle. I would be more than happy for the fans of Seattle. And even though they do have other things that they can root for, such as the Seahawks, the Mariners, you know, obviously, they get tremendous fan support with the Seattle Sounders and their MLS team. They have UW right there. I mean, it's not like when the Sonics left, oh my gosh, there's no sports, which would have been the case in Sacramento. So, yes, you could say that, but that doesn't really ease the pain for those diehard Sonics fans up there. Do I think it's going to be an expansion team or an existing team? Well, if it were me, I know which team it would be, all right? But I'm not running the league. It would be a very easy choice, all right? There would be two easy choices. One is New Orleans and the other is Memphis. I would go New Orleans first. I mean, New Orleans, I've said this for years. The fans in New Orleans don't care about the Pelicans. They don't care. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible NBA market. Awful. Now, do I have a crystal ball? No, I don't. Could it be an expansion team? I guess it could be. But when that new facility opens, I believe you will have a team there within 5 years because they're getting hockey. And speaking of hockey, you know what tonight is? That's right. It's the opening night of the NHL season. Hard to believe, right? Hockey's already starting with four games, including the unveiling of the Stanley Cup champion banner in Washington. That game's going to start in about an hour and 20 minutes with the Bruins and the Capitals. The other games tonight, Anaheim at the Sharks, Calgary, Vancouver, and Montreal at Toronto. So with everything else going on, NFL, week five beginning tomorrow, you've got the baseball playoffs that are underway. The winner of tonight's game will be in Fenway Park on Friday for game one of that best of five series. And then, oh yeah, we've got football that starts tomorrow in week five with Indianapolis at New England. When you look at the matchups this weekend, on Sunday, the two teams that have byes this week are Chicago and Tampa. The Raiders are taking on the Chargers down in Los Angeles, and the Niners are home to Arizona. The other games this week, Tennessee's at Buffalo, Cincinnati hosts Miami, Baltimore is at Cleveland, Green Bay travels to Detroit, Jacksonville is at Kansas City. I think that's the game of the week. Denver's at the Jets, Steelers are home to the Falcons, Giants are in Carolina, Minnesota at Philly, good game there. Arizona at San Francisco, as we mentioned, the late game. The Rams are in Seattle. Sunday night game has Dallas at Houston. And the Monday night game has Washington at New Orleans. But the game of the week, make no mistake about it, is going to be at Arrowhead Stadium. The defense of Jacksonville against the offense of Kansas City. And when you talk about football, normally, good defenses beat good offenses. But that was the old NFL. With the rule changes now in the NFL, offense is the name of the game. And it is hard to imagine any team in the National Football League playing better offensively unless their name are the LA Rams. All right? Now, when I look at this matchup and I think about what to look for, the offensive line of Kansas City, can they do enough? And by the way, the weather forecast for Sunday in Kansas City, a lot of thunderstorms. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. But Kansas City with the Tyreek Hill, with their ability to run the ball with Hunt, with their great tight end in Kelce, good offensive line. You know, Denver's got a very good defense. And they couldn't really get to Patrick Mahomes. They could not get to Mahomes. Yeah, he made the big plays when he had to. So how much better will Jacksonville be? Can Jacksonville win this game if their defense does not score points? And I don't think they can. I think the answer to that question is no. I don't think they can. So we got a short show today. We're going to get you out to Yankee Stadium at 4:45. First pitch coming up about 5:10, 5:15 or so. The Yankees and the A's and the first inning tonight, absolutely huge. All right? Absolutely huge, in my opinion, for Luis Severino. And I'm not saying it's not big for the A's, but I think if the A's can get to Severino early, get that one run on the board, then you know what? This may be the year of the Oakland A's to go on and take on a Red Sox team. And here's the other issue, and we know this. There's no pressure on the A's. People say, well, it's the playoffs, there is pressure. Not really. Everyone's picking the Yankees. And when I mean everyone, I mean it's the big old rich Yankees against the poor Oakland A's. Big market, small market, all the money in the world, no money. Right? Big underdog. So tell me who you like. Give me your thoughts. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Who wins this game tonight? When we come on the air tomorrow from Los Angeles at 3 o'clock, are we going to be talking about the victorious Oakland A's? Or are we going to be talking about the Yankees and the continuation of the rivalry with the Red Sox? All right? It's all starting right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Doug, by the way, will rejoin me tomorrow. We will have a full show for you tomorrow as the game does not start until 7:30, and then we will move on and we'll go to Seattle right after that contest. So that is going to be tomorrow. Then Doug and I will be courtside from Key Arena on Friday, and it'll be interesting to see now with the Kings in these two games. Doug and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I want to see Justin Jackson become a lot more active, get going. You know, he needs to pick up where he left off in summer league. He did not score in a game against Phoenix. Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles got their feet wet, particularly Bagley. You know, everyone, the hoopla surrounding LeBron James will be huge tomorrow. Watch them play a little bit last night on TNT. But tomorrow, just another opportunity. Get more minutes. See who can do what. Chance for Dave Yeager to try different combinations. He was on with Doug and I yesterday talking a little bit about all of that. So tomorrow, just another opportunity to get minutes, figure out the rotation. You know, who's going to be the top 10 guys? And will we see Bielitsa? We had Dave on yesterday, the coach of the Kings, talking about how much he loves Bielitsa and how good he has looked in practice. Again, if Bielitsa and Yogi Ferrell, you know, they can really add a lot to this bench for the Sacramento Kings. A lot of reasons for optimism when you look at the bench this year, assuming that Bogdan comes back pretty soon. You could have a bench of Yogi Ferrell, Buddy Hield, Bielitsa, and then maybe Marvin Bagley. Maybe, depending on how he, you know, runs things, you know, Kosta Kufis. All of a sudden, your bench is looking pretty good. And I haven't even mentioned some other guys like Amon Shumpert and Frank Mason, Scal Labissiere, Zach Randolph. I mean, they're you know, it's going to be fun to see how this all works. All right? So, Kings tomorrow, A's tonight, Kings Friday, and maybe the Oakland A's on Friday. We'll find out in about a couple of hours. Tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll open up the phone lines at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, let's get to some phone calls. We start at 339-1140 with Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys for covering all the sports and all the teams you do in this area. I also want to touch on the A's Yankee game. I think my head's telling me the Yankees are going to win, but my heart's telling me the A's are going to win. And you know what? I think the A's are a team that they don't know they're not supposed to win this game. So I think the A's are going to win tonight. I really do.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think it's pretty much a toss-up game. I would give a slight edge to the Yankees, slight, because I think they have better overall pitching from top to bottom, but and they're at home. But I don't really – I mean, again, we saw the National League and what happened at Wrigley Field last night. I don't really put a lot of emphasis on being home. It's who's going to pitch the best. The A's are a very gritty, pesky team. It would not surprise me at all. It would not surprise me at all if they beat the Yankees tonight.
Yeah, you're correct, Grant. I also believe, you know, I don't think they're as intimidated by the pinstripes in the Yankee Stadium as other teams in the past have been, you know. So, anyway, thanks for all the coverage you guys give to the area, UNDC, and we really appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you listening. Thank you. Dan, you're next. Thanks, hello, Dan.
Grant. Hey, Grant.
What's up? Hey, Dan.
Lifetime Met fan, so I don't really have a dog in this fight, but obviously I'm rooting for the A's in this one. But as a Met fan with a lot of history watching that team, the one thing that I would be terrified of as an A's fan is if they have to run Familia out there. His history in big postseason spots is really sketchy.
Yes, it is. And where did that happen? In New York.
I watched him save 50 games in a season, unhittable.
Yep.
Postseason
yep.
comes around, the ball starts flying out of the park.
Yep, I hear you.
So
very true.
I wish him luck, but I'd be worried with that one.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Let's get to Mark. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Grant, how you doing?
Good, Mark.
Hey, man, you're lucky. Wish I was going to the game with you. But, hey, I just think that the Yankees have one thing that the A's don't have on them, their shoulder right now, is major pressure. And I just think that pressure does strange things to teams. I don't think the A's care where this game is played. And I'm not predicting even a close game. I'm predicting 9-2.
You got the A's winning 9-2?
I do.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if the A's scored 9 runs. Like, that would shock me. The Yankees pitching is too good, in my opinion, for the A's to score 9 runs. They're not. If Severino struggles, they go to Tanaka and or Happ. I think they would go to Tanaka. You got very good middle relievers like Green and Robertson. That would shock me. It really would. That would shock me.
I agree with what you're saying, but if they get to Severino, I don't think that these guys are ready to jump right in for a second inning like maybe the A's pitchers are tonight. So I just feel like, you know, the A's bats can travel anywhere. They've shown all year long. And that's just my gut feeling, you know. I hope they can do it. I'm pulling for the A's. And you know, we'll see. But
all right, again, I'd be shocked if the A's score 9 runs tonight. I'd be shocked if anyone scores. I'll tell you right now, I won't be shocked, but I'll be very, very surprised if a team scores 5 runs tonight. I just think both these pitching staffs are too good.
Do you have a score prediction?
I think it's going to be a 3-2 type of a game. I really do. I don't think there are going to be a lot of runs scored in this game because I'm looking at the pitching staffs, and I know that both these teams can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Their lineups are tailor-made for that. But we saw it last night in the Colorado-Chicago series. Pitching is such it's the focal point a lot of times of these one-game elimination game, winner-take-all games. And for that reason, pitchers do not stay out there very long if they are iffy. They get right out of the game. I just don't think we're going to see a lot of runs in this game.
I was looking back to when they played Kansas City a few years back, and it's kind of saying they're up 7-3. I mean, we didn't lose that game, obviously, but I just think they come out of the gates charging, maybe not the first inning per se, but
okay.
I think by the third inning, they're going to have some runs on board. We'll see. Good luck. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you for calling. David is next, Grant, on Sports 1140. Hello, David. Welcome to the program today.
Hey, Grant. Hey, how are you?
Good, David. What's going on?
Hey, do you think the Yankees are looking past this game by not starting Happ?
Well, I don't think the Yankees players are overlooking this game. I do believe that that Aaron Boone's reason is because he wants Happ to be able to go and pitch 2 games against Boston. But I don't like that premise. You know, you don't worry about Boston until this game is over. But do I think the players on the Yankees are? Absolutely not. I don't think there's one player on the Yankees that's thinking about Boston right now.
You know, it's interesting you put that up because the A's, I think, are one of the few teams that have a winning record against Boston this year.
Yeah, I don't put any stock into that. That means nothing. Those games were played very early in the season, particularly the games in Boston. We're back, I think, in May. I don't put any onus on that. That doesn't mean anything.
I agree with you there. But the only thing that concerns me about the A's is they don't have a single hitter hitting above 300, whereas the Yankees do.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. They got guys that can change the game with one swing of the bat. You know, the Yankees have a lot of guys that hit in the 200s, too. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's get to Mike. Mike, welcome to the program.
Grant, how's it going? Hey, long-time listener. I love listening to you, Doug. My commute isn't as long, but this is a classic East Coast-West Coast matchup. I love it. And and I know you're a New York fan, and I love the fact that you reside on the West Coast and you talk sports for us here. But I just wanted to get what your opinion. What do you think about the fact how the A's are going with that reliever-type situation first, where they're using relievers to pitch, you know, start the game?
Well, it's worked for them, you know. They've had great success with it. And they feel, yeah. Bob Melvin feels that's the A's best chance to win the game. It's worked for them. They've had success with it. They need to win this game. And Bob Melvin feels that's the best chance, the best way to win the game. So I don't have a problem with it. I mean, that's you got to go with what brought you to the dance. Their starting pitching has been, you know, not good and or injured. So I don't have a problem. I mean, this is the A's best chance to win the game. He's going to put his best pitchers out there to win this game. Not the best pitcher, the best pitchers.
And I like how you give, like I said, I know you're a New York guy. But I like how you give both teams a chance to win. And you know as well as I do, all through the whole season, a lot of teams didn't want to play the A's for the very reason, like you said, they're pesky. I mean, they don't give up. They have good at bats, and they go down swinging. And I mean, I've been a diehard A's since it baffles me sometimes how you got a team that's $66 million, and you got another team that's their salary is four times more than that. But I was telling a buddy of mine at work today, I go, you know what? They're all professional. They're all Major League Baseball players. They all reach the top of the pinnacle on any given day. Like Yogi Berra said, any team can beat any other team. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look at what happened last night. If you take the Cubs payroll and the Rockies payroll, you know, payrolls don't win games. Players win games. And as you said, the players on the A's are getting paid too. So, you know, in this one game, it's not about payrolls. It really isn't. And listen, as far as my opinion, it doesn't really matter what team I root for. I've been doing this show for 25 years. I don't base my opinions on my allegiance to teams. I base my opinions on what I think is going to happen. And I think this is a pretty much a toss-up game. I would give a slight, and I mean a slight edge to the Yankees, because I honestly feel that from top to bottom, they are a better baseball team. But not by much. Not by much.
They led the major leagues in home runs. I think the A's came in third. So
yep.
That's an edge right there. Like you said, one swing can win the game.
All right. Hey, you take care.
Right, Grant,
thanks
thank
very
you.
Much. All right. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. You know, again, I don't see like a glaring difference in this game unless – unless Luis Severino if Severino has his A game, then the Yankees are going to win. If he has his A stuff tonight, the Yankees will win. And the reason why I say that is he will keep the A's to one run or less after five innings. And I don't think the Yankees are going to go five innings without scoring. And if the Yankees are able to give the ball to their bullpen in the sixth inning with a lead, I think they win the game. Conversely, if the A's are able to get to the bottom three in their pen with a one-run lead going into the sixth, then they have a very good chance of winning this game. No doubt about it. I wouldn't want to have to make up a one-run game against Blake Treinen. That's a very, very tall order. All right, we'll take the time out. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. A's baseball coming up at 4:45. We'll get you out to Yankee Stadium for all the coverage. All callers and guests appear courtesy of the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just swing it. All right, let's open up the phone lines again at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Doug Christie is en route down to L.A. with the Kings. I'll rejoin him tomorrow at 3 o'clock from Los Angeles. Let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Grant. Hey, great discussion about an exciting game. Boy, it's going to be something else. One thing I wanted to point out is that when you have such a close matchup of on paper talent and the like, in these kind of games, it could come down to, you know, a booted ball or a, you know, seeing eye ground ball or, you know, some odd thing that you weren't expecting to happen. And, you know, who knows which team or if that will happen, to whom it will happen. But we can't forget the A's have one of the best defenses that has been around for a while. So I'm just going to be watching to see if it's a cleanly played game in terms of, you know, no booted balls or wild pitches or that kind of crap that can just totally change the outcome of a game. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with you. The A's are very solid up the middle. The Yankees are not very strong at the hot corner. I mean, Chapman over Andujar, no contest. I mean, Chapman is a phenomenal Gold Glove caliber fielder. He should get the Gold Glove this year. And Andujar has made a variety of errors for the Yankees at third. He's very, very good offensively, but that you, if the game is tight in the eighth inning, he'll be out of the game. The Yankees will take him out for defensive purposes. And then the Yankees have a liability behind the plate. And listen, I'm telling you something right now. If the A's get a runner on third base, that changes the way Luis Severino or Tanaka can pitch, because Gary Sanchez is not good at blocking balls in the dirt. He is horrible. He's the worst catcher in baseball in that department. I'm telling you, that is, you just hit it, one run. And when the A's, if the A's get a man on third, just, you must watch that, because it limits the Yankee pitcher in what they can throw.
Right.
I really do. That is a real key in this ballgame.
Great. Well,
And you know what? I'm not managing the Yankees. I would not start Gary Sanchez tonight. I would start Austin Romine. He's a solid defensive catcher. He's hit well. I would not start Sanchez in a game like this. And I'll tell you, if the Yankees have a one-run lead in the seventh inning, you will see Romine catching. You will not see Andujar at third. You'll see defensive substitutions. You watch. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
Very good. Thanks. It's going to be a great game. Looking forward to it. And thanks for explaining it to everyone. All right.
Hey, I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Again, it's a toss-up type of a game. Slight, and I mean a slight edge to the Yankees. I mean, how could you not give a slight edge to the Yankees? They won 100 games, for crying out loud. All right? They are a really good team. And when they are healthy, and again, when they are healthy, They may be as good as any team in baseball. But that doesn't matter tonight. The A's have shown all year that they are no fluke. They have flown under the radar. They are a team in Oakland that nobody watches around the country. I can tell you here that the majority of fans going to New York tonight couldn't tell you anything about the Oakland A's. Guarantee it. The fans that are going to be at Yankee Stadium tonight, you know, if I sat there while the fans were coming in and took a poll on and asked them some questions about the A's, I bet you they wouldn't be able to name four players on the whole team. I'm serious. You know, the A's are a under the radar, small market. Gee, they're you know, this is, not only is this a team that can win tonight, this is a team that could beat the Red Sox. I mean, I wouldn't put them to beat Boston, because I don't think that when they have to go to their starting pitching, that would concern me. But this A's ball club is the real deal. Bob Melvin is the manager of the year, period. If Bob Melvin does not get the manager of the year, then get rid of the award. There should be no other manager that's even considered for manager of the year in the American League. No one. Absolutely nobody. I don't want to hear about it. You know? You know, the Boston wins 100-plus games. So what? They should. The Yankees win 100 games. Big deal. They should have. Houston won 100 games. So what? Look at their lineup. They should win 100 games. Right? The A's, Bob Melvin is the manager of the year, period. I mean, there's no argument there. I don't care if they lose 15-0 tonight. He's the manager of the year. All right, 339-1140 is the local number. 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We are going to have all the action for you. We're going to get you to Yankee Stadium at about 4:45. Ken Korak will be on the call. And Yankee Stadium, standing room only crowd tonight. The weather in New York is beautiful. Last night they had horrendous, horrendous thunderstorms and lightning that occurred at about 10:30, 11. Tonight, no such issues. From what I understand, just walking around here to get to the radio station today, the weather was absolutely stellar today, beautiful. And the weather forecast tonight, not an issue. Not an issue at all. Matter of fact, when you look at the forecast at the start of the game, which, again, on the East Coast, the first pitch is at about 8:10 or so, the temperature is going to be in the 70s. Not an issue at all. So that's good news. And then I looked at the extended forecast for Boston. No weather issues up and down the Northeast Corridor. So whoever wins tonight, that's not going to be something you got to worry about. What you have to worry about, if you're the A's, what do you get out of Hendricks to start the game? That's a big spot for him, isn't it? Now think about this. I'm not saying it's not a big spot for Severino. It's a big, big spot. And here's the unknown. I don't know how Aaron Boone is going to manage this game because he's never managed a playoff game before. What happens if Severino in the first inning and the A's got two men on and no out? Right? Because we saw it back in September. It was, I believe, September 5th, where Severino started the game and the A's clobbered him, and Sanchez got two pass balls, two wild pitches. It was horrible. I wonder how long Aaron Boone, and again, first time in this position, I'm wondering how long will Aaron Boone stay with Luis Severino if he's a little rattled early. If it were me, I would yank him right away. I don't care. I don't care about a psyche. I don't care about any of that stuff. There is absolutely no way in the world I am staying with Severino in this game. I don't care if I got to go out and yank him in the very first inning. Doesn't matter. First pitch tonight, 70 degrees, 72% humidity, winds at 5 miles an hour. So absolutely ideal weather for baseball. And at 11 o'clock, temperature is only going to go down to 67. The humidity rises to 84%. It is very humid in New York, but that's okay. All right, now what does that mean in terms of the ball? Listen, will the ball carry very well with this type of humidity? Not as well, but these guys, you think Chris Davis or Aaron Judge or Stanton need the ball to carry? Come on. That's what's another interesting aspect about this game, the power on both sides. The power on both sides. So we're about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes away from the first pitch in the Bronx. And again, we're going to have it for you right here on Sports 1140, and then tomorrow we will be courtside at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. We get ready for the Kings and the Lakers. Want to remind everyone that all callers and guests appear courtesy of the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Second hour straight ahead, Sports 1140 KHDK. We've got A's baseball, as mentioned, coming up in just a little bit. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All guests and callers appear courtesy of the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious 21 flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. All right, let's start off with Fred. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Grant, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just talking about the game and doing all this crystal balling and trying to decide who's the favorite means absolutely zero. My forecast is this. The team that plays the best defense, pitches the best, and scores the most runs will win the game, and we don't know who that is.
Let me ask you a question. If I asked you to come in today and host the radio show instead of me, how would you talk about the game then?
Well, I would talk about it by right up front saying, I do have a crystal ball. Let's play crystal ball.
Nobody's playing crystal ball. But like if my job is to go over and talk about the game and what positions do I think favor one team and what positions favor the other. That's what my job is. Do you think I'm doing my job wrong, Fred?
You're doing a fantastic job, and you're doing such a fantastic job, I decided to call in and banter back and forth. That's the fun of it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is, and I appreciate you calling in. But again, I mean, I got 2 hours to fill. I gotta build up the game and talk about what I think are some of the issues in the game. You're obviously right. Everything you just said is very true. But I could say that about every game played in any arena, any sport, any night of the week, 365 days a year. We could break down sports that way in every single game that's played on any level, including kindergarten.
I completely agree, but I also disagree when you say you don't have a crystal ball. You can say you have your fun crystal ball, and now we're going to have some fun crystal balling, because that's exactly what it is.
All right, figure out. Give me your crystal ball forecast and your prediction for the game tonight, Fred.
I just gave it to you.
All right, well, give it to me again, please.
Okay, the team that plays the best defense, and by the way, pitching is part of the defense last time I checked, and defense has possession of the ball, which distinguishes baseball from all other games. So the team that plays the best defense has the best battery, which, of course, is the pitching and defense, and scores the most runs. That's the team that will win. How's that for prediction?
That's unbelievable, Fred. I don't know how I've done this job for 25 years without that type of knowledge. So I really appreciate you. I know that everybody that's... Fred, I'm sure everybody's driving in the car right now or listening online, wherever they may be. They're going, now, where's Fred been all these years?
Yeah, that's true. I have fun with it, Grant, but I would have to disagree with you when you say you don't have a crystal ball. You do have one, and that's what makes it fun.
All right, Fred, thank you very much. I don't have a crystal ball, but appreciate it. If I had a crystal ball, give me the six numbers for Powerball tonight, all right? Unbelievable. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I don't know how else I'm supposed to talk about the game if I can't talk about the game. Right? What I do know is, you know, the Yankees get all the headlines, and I get that, and I understand why. They're an iconic franchise. I mean, we get that. You think anybody going to the game tonight's ever heard of Liam Hendricks? Seriously. Now, I'm not trying to be catty. You think that the people that are going to the game tonight in New York know who Liam Hendricks is? No, they don't. All right? And they may not have to know a lot about him because he's probably not pitching past the first inning. If the A's get the lead early in this game, look out. If the A's get the lead early, look out. And here's the other deal. If the A's lose tonight, you and I both know what the deal's going to be tomorrow. Well, you know, they're good. But they didn't do this or they didn't do that. I don't care whether the A's win or lose tonight. This has been a storybook season for Oakland. Period. They've already overachieved this year. They've already had a great year. And if the A's lose tonight, it does not change that. Now, I understand A's fans are going to go, hey, it's the same thing every year. We've had good years in the past, and we can't make it out of the first round or, you know, obviously the wild card's different, but... That's why they went out and got John Lester a couple of years ago, right? Because they needed someone that could pitch against Justin Verlander. Didn't work out. What happened when the A's and the Tigers met? Why did the A's lose back-to-back years against the Tigers? Because they didn't have anybody that could match up and stand on the hill and duel with Justin Verlander. So they went out and they got John Lester. Because they're like, all right, now we have a bona fide ace. A guy that's won the World Series, a guy that has been there, and now we've got a guy that we can put on the hill against Justin Verlander. And again, it did not work out, and at the time, and even now, I applaud Billy Beane for going out and making that move. It did not work. We get that. But the A's were tired and are tired of not making it to the championship series. And in order to get to that round, you have to have an ace. Teams do not win without an ace in the playoffs. They don't. Name me the last team that has won a World Series without an ace. Name me the last team that has won either a AL or NL championship series without an ace. And that's where the problems with the A's rise. Because before they got John Lester, they would have to put Sonny Gray on the hill. All right? Or somebody else. And that's why if I'm looking long-term at this postseason, and we know that anything can happen in a five-game series, but if the A's beat the Yankees tonight, how are they going to beat Boston without a guy that, and again, they're not going to be able to go with this formula if they win tonight. They're not going to be able to start Hendricks and do the bullpen thing. That's not going to work. It works okay for a one game. You can do that for one game. So give me your thoughts on that at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, we're going to have all the action right here on Sports 1140. KHTK. All right, let's get to Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Grant. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling, Jerry.
Hey, I've got a magic eight ball here, and I'm going to tell you my prediction. Let me shake it. Okay, it says that the A's are going to win for these reasons. Let me shake it again. Okay, first of all, they've been the hottest team since the All-Star break. Shake it again. Second reason it gives is that they've hit the most home runs on the road out of any team. Let me shake it a third time. Magic 8-Ball says that they are long overdue. Law of averages says eventually one of these campaigns have to pay off. What do you think about that, Grant?
I don't disagree that that's all a possibility. Again, I would have to ask Ace fans, what are their expectations now that the team has made it this far? Are their expectations to win tonight and then they're not going to win the next series? Or, you know, I guess I put my summary of what I think would be a good year. The A's have already overachieved. It's already been a good year, no matter what happens tonight. But I'm not an A's fan. I would wonder what the A's fans would say about that. If I come on the radio tomorrow at 3 and talk about the Yankees going on in the next round and the A's lose, will the attitude of A's fans be, oh, my gosh, same old story year after year or whatever. We just can't win and, you know, we're good. But, you know, I mean, what will the narrative be if the A's lose?
I want to tell you what I think their expectations might be. Hold on to some of their players by signing them and sign their coach. I think that's what their expectations will be. Everything else after that is gravy.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, Bob Melvin's not going anywhere. I mean, he's the manager of the year. I'm looking at this A's team, and there are so many exciting players. We know that they are close, or at least I think they're close, to getting a stadium deal done, and that's what this franchise really needs. And if they do, then they get more money. Hopefully they'll be able to keep these players and then go forward. But what the A's have done this year is truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. And I think they enter the game tonight with a swagger. I think that as a group, they're like, hey, we're in Yankee Stadium. Let's show the world. Let's rock the world. Let's shake everyone up. Let everyone find out now tonight in a national stage, in the biggest and greatest stadium of them all, let's show everyone what we're all about. That's what I think their moxie, their attitude is. I actually, in a way, I think it's better that they're on the road tonight than at Oakland. Because if the game's in Oakland, it's still, it's Oakland. Now it's New York. It's Yankee Stadium. All eyes are on this game tonight. If the game were in Oakland, it's kind of it's in Oakland. We don't want to. Yankee Stadium. So not only does this draw the baseball fans tonight, it also is going to draw the casual baseball fan. Whereas the game's in Oakland, that may not happen, even though it's the Yankees. This game will do big numbers on TBS, And the Oakland A's now have a chance tonight to show everyone what they're all about. And I think they're relishing this opportunity. I think that to a man in that clubhouse, this is perfect for them. It's the biggest stage that the game has, and a team that nobody knows about, all right? The team that nobody knows about nationally, the Oakland A's, are coming into Yankee Stadium tonight to show the world, hey, yeah, this is us. This is why we won as many games. And don't take us for granted. Don't take us lightly. That's the position they're in tonight. We'll see if they can get it done. We'll get you out to New York in about 30 minutes. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are talking about tonight's matchup that we will have in about 25 minutes. We'll get you out to Yankee Stadium. I will be heading out to Yankee Stadium as soon as I leave here, getting on the 4 train, going uptown at Bronx, and I doubt I'll get there for the start of the game, but I'll be watching the start of the game on my phone, and then hopefully we'll be in the seat before too much longer. Let's get to Bill. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, how good would it look if the A's had Jacob DeGrom pitching tonight?
Oh, boy, how good would it look if anybody had Jacob DeGrom pitching?
Oh, I mean,
he's the best pitcher in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, sometimes the A's just have to, do stuff like that to win. But their bullpen lately has been very, very terrible besides trying.
Yep.
Every time Ronnie gets in or Familius, it just seems like they're giving up runs or walks. And I'm kind of worried about their bullpen.
Yeah, that's a good point. They didn't exactly end the season great, but then again, they didn't really they were kind of locked into their position. I mean, it was going to be very difficult to catch the Yankees, especially when they took 3 out of 4 from Tampa. I still like the arms of the A's bullpen. I think both these teams are very comfortable with giving the ball to the bullpen, even if it means you got to get 4 innings of bullpen help. I mean, I think the number one key in this game tonight is early. And I think if Luis Severino comes out strong and is able to get 3 up and 3 down in the first, or, get out of the first inning with 15 or fewer pitches, and he looks like he's got his pitches good, then I believe the Yankees win this game. I think the very first inning is the key for Severino, because Aaron Boone is hoping that Severino has one of those games in him. And by what I mean by one of those games, Severino, when he is on, is a dominant pitcher. Dominant. And I think we're going to find out early in this game exactly which Luis Severino is going to show up. Last year in the playoffs against Minnesota, he lasted one-third of an inning. One-third of an inning and gave up 5 runs. So we'll know early, I think, on Luis Severino.
All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. The A's were hoping Sean Manaea was going to be the guy, but we know what happened with him. And were they going to go with Edwin Jackson? Were they going to go with Mike Fiers? And they decided no. All right? They know they got a powerful bullpen. They know they got guys that they can throw. And instead, you got Luis Severino, who through the first, April, May, and June was the best pitcher in the American League, or at least he looked like that. What did he have going into July? Or didn't he have like an ERA of 2.10? But in his last 3 starts, he's been much, much better. All right? The key to Luis Severino is a slider. That's the key to him. So keep an eye on that tonight if you're looking at this from the A's perspective about his slider. Because you got Chris Davis in the lineup. And his slider sets up his fastball. This is going to be incredible. Now, what would happen? What happens if Severino gets in trouble early? You know what? Don't be surprised if Chad Green would get the call. And he's a guy that could go several innings. A couple of other things. We didn't talk about this. The Yankees at home this year were dominant. All right? Now, I know the Cubs were dominant at Wrigley. The Yankees at home this year were 53-28. And they averaged 5.5 runs a game. Actually, I think the number now that I remember was 5.6. 5.6 runs. 53-28 at home. So keep that in mind. All right? The Yankees hit a lot of home runs this year, the most in Major League history. Guess what? The A's hit a lot of home runs this year. This is no fluke of a team tonight, the Oakland A's. And we know the A's got hot. They've got, I think, the best closer in the American League, Blake Treinen. And if you give him the ball in the ninth with the lead, you're probably going to win the game. Odds are very, very high. I think this is a 3-2 game. I don't see the ball flying out of the ballpark tonight. If it does, then I think the Yankees win the game. If the ball flies out of the ballpark tonight, I think the Yankees win the game because they got more power. And every single batter in the Yankee lineup can hit the ball out of the yard. So for that reason, you know, if the ball's flying out of the park, if it's not a pitcher's game, the Yankees win. I think this is so intriguing to have the big market against the small market. I think it is so intriguing to be at this stage in New York for a team like the Oakland A's. And we gave you the lineups earlier. Again, Brett Gardner was struggling a little bit, so McCutchen is in left field. I don't like that move personally. I love Gardy in these games. I think he is tailor-made to play in these big games. He may get in later in the contest. You know, I went over the lineups earlier. You know, we talk about the A's in the top of the first. They will have an opportunity. Martini, Chapman, and Lowry with Chris Davis going cleanup, batting fourth. Will he get up in the first inning against Luis Severino? All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have A's baseball. We're going to have the extended pregame show. We'll get you caught up on everything that is going on out at the Bronx. And then tomorrow, Doug and I will break it all down when we're on at 3 from L.A. I'm pumped to go to the game tonight. Just the atmosphere in big games. There's nothing like it, regardless of whether what sport you're talking about. Nothing like a big game. Especially a one-game winner-take-all. Because you and I both know, we saw it last night. Just that one play. Just that one play can turn around a whole game. You know, how about Rizzo last night for the Cubs? Anthony Rizzo. You had momentum. You had runners on first and second and one out. And a very, very, very first. And that was after the misplayed ball in right field. So it's first and second and one out. Very first pitch, double play. You know, it's those little things. That's the beauty of a single game playoff. I know a lot of people don't like it. I know a lot of people are complaining. Well, you know, you play 162 and now you get down to 190 game. Well, anybody have any complaints about last night's game unless you're a Cubs fan? That was beautiful. That was baseball in its purest form. That was a really good baseball game with the exception of Alex Rodriguez and his blabbering. Other than that, it was a great game. Well-played game. Both teams, extra innings. What happens if the game goes extra innings tonight? I think if the game goes extra innings, I think the Yankees gain the advantage because the A's are probably going to be in a position where their best pitchers and their bullpen has already been used. So I, at that point, and again, projecting how I think Bob Melvin's going to manage this game, what happens if the game goes into extra frames? We got the pregame show coming up. I am on my way to 161st Street and River Avenue, uptown. I'm heading to the number 4 train. I'll be back on the air tomorrow at 3 with Doug Christie. We'll be doing the show from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Hope you enjoy the game, everybody. It should be an absolute dandy, just for the record. I'm predicting the Yankees to win this game 3-2. We'll find out tomorrow. And thanks for all your phone calls. We got A's baseball coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.